Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. St. Paul tells us, and Genesis tells us, that Abraham is the father of many nations. And as you read Genesis in the first 11 chapters, it's not looking too good for human beings. I mean, things kind of got out of hand. And finally, the Tower of Babel was built and trying to storm heaven, and God confused the languages, destroyed the Tower of Babel. But chapter 12 starts the story of Abraham. And this is a very interesting story. If you read this week, just go start chapter 12 of Genesis and work your way through. It's not a boring story. Abraham is very, very interesting. And he's not only the father of many nations, he's a father of many faiths. He's a father of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. In fact, the God we all worship is the same God. Call it Yahweh, or El Shaddai, or Allah, or Abba Father. It's the same God and Father, and we know he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham, I was thinking a lot about him, because if you look at chapter 12 of Genesis, Abraham was 75 years old. 75 years old. And in 7 months, I will be 75 years old. And I'm saying, whoa, look what happened. God calls him. I'm thinking about, gee whiz, he's calling Abraham what? To go to a promised land. He doesn't know where in heck it is. Leave your neighborhood. Leave your church. Leave your country. Leave everything and follow me. Wow, this is something. And if you read Abraham's story, this is not the last time God asked him to give up everything. I mean, finally, the promise, when he's 75, he's 25 years later, he's 100, he finally has a boy named Isaac. And there's a lot of stuff happened between that 25 years. And then what does God do? He asks Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. But you know the story that, you know, at the last minute, he provides a ram caught in a thicket, and the ram was sacrificed instead of Isaac. And there's many, some scholars have different reasons why this story was put in the Bible. But the thing was, Abraham was asked a lot, and Abraham was not perfect. As you read chapter 12 and beyond, you'll find that Sarah was a real looker. She was really pretty. And one time, Abraham had to go into Egypt to find food because it was a famine. And he told Sarah, well, listen, you know, Pharaoh's going to see you. He's going to have the hots for you. He says, well, just say, you're my sister. Otherwise, Pharaoh might kill me. So she said, so Pharaoh takes Sarah in. It's pretty racy. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh gets all these plagues. He's saying, well, wait a minute. And he found out, it's your sister. It's your wife, not your sister. And he tells Abraham, get lost. And other things happen. It's an interesting story. Abraham, he gets the covenant of circumcision. He circumcises himself at 99 years old. That is a lot of faith. That man has faith. But Paul goes on to say that his faith, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. As righteousness. Wow. His strong faith. And Paul also says, therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he goes on to say, it will be also considered a faith us to be righteousness, who believe in him who raised Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead, the power of the resurrection, who was handed over for our transgressions. He suffered and was imprisoned and beaten and was raised for our justification. Jesus Christ. And in his book, Martin Luther writes about faith. It's called Freedom of a Christian. He says, faith is when the soul and Christ, by faith, enter into the marriage bed, into that intimate relationship. And by this faith, by this relationship, God in Christ takes upon himself all of our sins and gives us all of God's forgiveness and healing and love. Later, Luther calls it the Freilich Wechsel, the joyous exchange that we have. And so Abraham had this strong faith. But today we also see that faith was incarnate in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we see Jesus today going right in there to call Matthew, first of all. First of all, remember, in those days, the master never picked his disciples. Usually the disciple went and asked the master if he could be a disciple, and usually there was a trial period and stuff. Not Jesus. He goes to Matthew, and Matthew was what? A tax collector. He gets money for the Roman soldiers who are taking over Israel and who dominate Israel. He's a tax collector, and he says, "Follow me." And Matthew follows him. And not only that, he has supper with Matthew and all the sinners, and he's having a great time. And the Pharisees, the uptight, upright, religious people that knew the law, and they said, "Your master eats with these type of people. That's not okay." Because, you know, in Israel, if you ate with somebody, it's like you accept them as part of your friends or your family. And what does Jesus say? Those who are sick need a physician. Those who aren't sick don't need a physician. And he goes on. And then what happens right after that? He's met by a leader. In the New Revised Standard Version says of the synagogue, yours just says leader. And says, "My daughter has died, but if you come, you'll heal her." And talk about faith. And he's going along, and there's a woman that has, yours says a flow of blood, mine says a hemorrhage, for 12 years. And in Mark's gospel, the woman just sneaks up and touches Jesus' cloak, and she's healed immediately. And Jesus says, "Well, who touched me? Some power's gone out of me." But in this gospel, it's saying Jesus turns to her and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And then he finally goes to the leader's house, and they're making a big fuss. It's a funeral, and they're playing the flute, and the daughter's dead, and Jesus says, "She's not dead, she's sleeping." And they laughed at Jesus. "Oh, you're crazy." He said, get out of here, come on. And he touches her hand and heals her. Jesus Christ shows faith in action, God's power in action, Christ's healing, forgiveness, hope. It's good news. It's new news to a world that is in pain through disease and war and Ebola and attacks by criminals on Ukraine and all the things that are happening in lies and adultery. We need different news. Good news. People need help. People need healing. People need to know that the church is there. And when Jesus says last week, "Go, make disciples," Jesus is showing us he is our Savior, but he's also our role model. This love, it just this energy from God. See, we have that faith of Abraham, but we have more than Abraham. We received in our baptism the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit that Jesus says, "In that Spirit, you will do the things that I do and greater things than these because I go to the Father." You have that and you are living that. And I thank God for you because today we're going to be joining in that loving your neighbor ministry through Lutheran World Relief. I'd like to read you what this brochure says. Through Lutheran World Relief, you are the hands and feet of Christ in a hurting world. You are Christ in a hurting world. You go where no one else goes, and you stay as long as needed to minister to neighbors affected by poverty, hunger, sickness, violence. This is what you're part of. We're not just giving money to Lutheran World Relief. We are Lutheran World Relief. And through your ministry today, through ice cream and balloons and supporting, you are showing the world a different way. You are showing what Christ's ministry is about. You're showing what loving your neighbor. It's our prayers are important, our witness is important, but people will say, show me. I want to see it. They're going to see it. In fact, last year when people came, they said, oh, that church is still open. Yeah, we're open for business. We're still open for ministry. We're doing ministry strong and good. In fact, the good Lord changed the weather for us today, so we don't have the storms and rain like was proposed, but now we have the sun. This is what God calls us to. Remember what Jesus said. In fact, I have this on my cross too. What you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. Every person you see, especially strangers, try to see Christ in them. Show them love. Show them a new word, a new vision today. And I'd like to end with a prayer from Lutheran World Relief. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us gifts and talents to use in your service and share our love for others. Place in our hearts a desire to live faithfully and do the things you have prepared in advance for us to do. Today we pray that you would bless the work of our hands, of our feet, of our hearts. May we be good stewards of your blessings, and may many lives be touched and many hearts be open today to you as Lord and Savior. May all honor and glory be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen. And the grace of our Lord and the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.